ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 एंड 11। आई रीड द वर्स 10। अपि सर्वे कुशलिनस् तव पुत्रा मनस्विनी लक्षये स्वस्थमात्मानं भवत्या लक्षणेरहम्। ट्रांसलेशन बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्तिविधान स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेट माइंडेड लेडी, आर ऑल योर सन्स फेयरिंग वेल? सीइंग योर विदर्ड फेस आई कैन परसीव दैट योर माइंड इज नॉट ट्रैंक्विल। हाउ इज दिस सो? टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। श्री अदिति उवाच भद्रम। श्री अदिति उवाच भद्रम द्विज गवां ब्रह्मन् धर्मस्यास्य जनस्य च त्रिवर्गस्य परम क्षेत्रम् गृहमेधिन्द्रियायमे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। अदिति सेड, ओ माय रेस्पेक्टेड ब्राह्मण हस्बैंड, ऑल इज वेल विद द ब्राह्मणस, द काउस, रिलीजन एंड वेलफेयर ऑफ अदर पीपल। ओ मास्टर ऑफ द हाउस, द थ्री प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ धर्म, अर्थ एंड काम flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification according to religious regulations given in Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kashyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as Brahman and another time as Grahamedin. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely and the Brahmanas and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. So in reply to Kashyap Muni's various questions, Aditi is here answering to her husband Kashyap Muni that there is nothing wrong in our execution of our duties as householders. And she is mentioning here that how, my dear Brahmana, all is well with the Brahmanas, cows, religion and welfare. And also the three principles of Dharma, Earth and Kaam, flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Namo Brahmane Devaya, Go Brahmanitaya cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. Said that let us offer respectful obeisance to Supreme Personal Godhead, who is a worshipful deity for all Brahmanical men, well-wisher of cows and brahmanas and always benefiting the whole world. Let me offer my respectful obeisance to the Supreme Person known as Krishna and Govinda. So you all know that how Lord Krishna, he likes and he loves the brahmanas and the cows. Srila Prabhupada, many of the places in the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam and others, has mentioned how the prosperity of human society is when the cows and the brahmanas are taken care of nicely. That's a thermometer of spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada mentions that a brahmana is a symbol of spiritual education and the cows are the symbol of valuable food. So he said that in human society, unfortunately, the spiritual education is neglected and cow killing is encouraged. This is what Prabhupada mentions actually. Because once the Brahmanas, they don't fulfill the responsibilities of imparting spiritual education, and once the cows are being not protected, taken care of, then there is the downfall of human civilization. And we find that how Prabhupada mentions that human's prosperity depends on when there is proper Brahmanical culture and proper protection of the cows. And Krishna is always satisfied whenever they are taken care of. We find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and other history also how when somebody has neglected or offended a Brahmana or offended a cow, how there is destruction. The one story which comes in my mind is about, you know, how one offended the Brahmanas. This is from the Ramayana, as has been foretold by Krishna Dharma Prabhu. I just would like to repeat that. It is said that how there was once upon a king, his name was Sagara. He was a ruler of Ayodhya. And he had 60,001 son. From one wife he had 60,000 children, and from other wife he had one son. Both of them are opposite in character. The 60,000 sons were very wicked, cruel, and the one son born of her wife, his name was Anshuman, he was very well, pious, gentle person. So one day he decided to have a horse sacrifice, and as per the custom, the horse would be left free, and then the custom would be wherever the horse has been tied by whichever king, then he has to declare war against the king, and the king has to fight with him. And it so happened that Indra was afraid of this king's prosperity. So Indra decided to steal the horse from the Sagar, from King Sagar. Stole the horse away from the sacrificial arena. And because it was stolen, King Sagar sent his children first, his 60,000 children, all the way to look out for the lost horse. And he said that all the 60,000 children, sons, they went all over this globe. They could not find, they went to the subterranean region, they could not find anywhere. And in meanwhile, in this course of the journey, they started destroying and exploiting all the villages, the people. And this was brought to the notice of Lord Brahma by the demigods. And Lord Brahma then told them, don't worry, very soon this personality of Godhead will take the form of a Brahman, Kapila, and he will ensure the destruction of this 60,000 sons. So 60,000 sons, as they were passing, they came to this hermitage of Kapila, and they just saw this sacrificial horse tied down in this hermitage. The 60,000 sons had ordered city, they just went straight away, presuming that this horse was being stolen by Kapila, and they wanted to attack Kapila Muni. But Kapila Muni, by the dint of his prowess, the Brahminical prowess, burnt all the 60,000 children to ashes. And this, after some time, when Sagar could not find the whereabouts of his children, he sent his son Anshuman. Anshuman tried to find out where his children were, where his brothers were, searched all over the place, ultimately came to this hermitage of Kapila. And he saw this horse being tied over there. He offered his prostrate obeisances to Kapila and then asked about the whereabouts of the brothers. And then he came to know that the brothers have been burned to ashes. And then he asked, how do I find out, how do I get them back to life? So it is said that Garuda, who was the carrier of the Lord. He was there and he said that only when the Mother Ganges, you get Mother Ganges from the spiritual world into this place, and when the Mother Ganges flows through them, then the 60,000 sons will be brought back to life. Of course, by the dint of his austerities, it was not possible for Anshuman to do that. But then, over a period of generations, ultimately Bhagirath, he got Ganga into this world and then ultimately brought this sons of Sagar back to life. So this particular story is just to illustrate the fact that, you know, the 60,000 sons of Sagar, they offended the Brahman, and that was what the result was, that they were burnt to ashes, and so much so that it required generations after generations just to get them back to life. It's one of the stories. As far as offenses to the cow, we have the glaring example of Vishwamitra Muni. How we know that Vishwamitra Muni was a great king, a ruler, and once on his expedition, he just went to different towns, villages, and then ultimately came to the hermitage of Vasishtha Muni. And then Vasishtha Muni welcomed the king very nicely, and the king was very happy. Vishwamitra was very happy by the reception offered by Vasishtha Muni, and offered him fruits and everything. But Vasishtha Muni wanted to offer him more. He says, please stay here, because he had a vast army along with him also. He said, please, I want to offer you some more. He says, no, by your good words, I am very happy. I don't need anything else. I am just happy by your sweet words and your kind conduct, and then just wanted to leave. But because of Vasishtha Muni's persistence, the king Vishwamitra accepted the offer and said, how are you going to serve us? So Vasishtha said, I have one cow, name is Sabala. And then she has the power to serve each and every one. Whoever comes here as guest, she can serve unlimited amount of food to the person's satisfaction. So please help me to serve you. And then he calls the cow Sabala and requested Sabala to feed the king and all the guests. And within a fraction of a minute, Sabala, through her body, she produced unlimited amount of food. Whatever the persons needed to his heart content. And then everyone was satisfied. Totally satisfied. The king was amazed. Vishwamitra was amazed to see that how, you know, by just having one cow, Vasishtha Muni could satisfy each one of us. So while he was leaving, Vishwamitra said that, please, I have one request from you. He said, you should give me this horse to me in exchange of maybe 100,000 cows. I'll give you 100,000 cows, but you give me one cow of yours, Sabal, to me. So Vasishtha Muni said, no. This Sabala cannot be separated from me, just as a virtue of a Brahmana cannot be separated from himself. Says, it's not possible. I need this cow because this cow helps me to perform my sacrifices every day. She just serves milk from which I produce a lot of ghee for sacrifice. And so many items, whatever I want, I just am provided by this cow. So please allow me to keep this cow. Don't ask for it. So in spite of repeated persistence, Vasishtha refused. So Vishwamitra said, then I have to take it by force. So with the help of the army, he just took that cow away by force. And Vasishtha could not do anything. It is said that Sabala was looking at Vasishtha, pleading. He said, what mistake I have done? Why are you separating me from you, O my dear Vasishtha Muni? Vasishtha Muni was saying that, I cannot do anything. In fact, he was telling the king that, king, it is the nature of you, of a king, to force and usurp and get whatever you want. But as an ascetic, it's my nature to forgive. So I am forgiving you for what you are doing. But at the same time, when Sabal was looking at the Vasishtha Muni, the king, the Vasishtha Muni has become very helpless. And Vasishtha Muni is saying, I cannot do anything. I want you to be with me, but the king is taking you away from me. How, what can I do? I am so helpless. And then Sabal tells Vasishtha, that it is said that the power of a Brahmana is more than that of the prowess of a king. So, if you order or if you desire that I should stay, then you just order that and I will do the needful. So then Vasishtha said, okay, I request you to stay. And as soon as he made the statement, out from the udders of the cow, Sabal, came hundreds of soldiers from the different parts of the body. There were so many soldiers who were coming out. And within moments, Vishwamitra's entire army was defeated. Entire army was defeated. And said that Vishwamitra's son wanted to attack Vasishtha Muni, but Vasishtha Muni, just by utterance of some mantras, he just burnt all the Brahmanas or the sons of the, sorry, not Brahmanas, the sons of this king to ashes. And of course, the story goes on later on. But this particular story illustrates the fact that what could happen if somebody just offends a cow. What to speak of in this age of Kali Yuga, where millions of cows are being slaughtered and Brahmanas are not taken care of. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions that 5 people should be taken care of in this society. That is the Brahmanas, the cows, the women, the children, the old age people, old people. He says, by protecting the Brahmanas, the Varnashram institution is maintained. By protecting the cow, the miracle food, we get valuable food, miracle food from which so many things can be prepared, and also develops the finer tissues of the brain to understand the spiritual aspects. By protecting the women, the chastity is maintained, by which general welfare of the society is enhanced. By protecting the children, they are allowed to flower up and take to this spiritual path when they grow up. And by protecting the old people, they are allowed to progress or make their or plan out their spiritual life even after death also. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam how these 4-5 people should always be protected. And wherever these 5 people are protected, there is always going to be prosperity. The Brahmanas, the cows, the women, the children and the old people. But unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada mentions that here in this age of Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas are neglected and the cows are being slaughtered. It is said that Prabhupada mentions in one of the discussions in his lectures, he says that how in this land of India, the Brahmins are traditionally very intelligent. Traditionally very intelligent. But it seems, but they will pick up the modern education to promote themselves to the higher ranks in material world. But as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they are most fallen. It is a fact. If you see that, you know, the people in the land of India, they are by nature very sharp and intelligent. That's why when they go to the West, they are the ones who just always, you know, progress, or they are the taking up the topmost positions in the material world. I still remember my grandfather's brother. My grandfather's brother, who is in the village, you know, he used to just, he was so intelligent that you multiply anything with anything, he would get an answer within a fraction of a minute. You know, just like we have this Vedic maths, something like that. Anything you tell him, anything you ask him, he knew everything. He knew the Shastras by heart, he knew the full Bhagavad Gita by heart, he knew everything. You quote anything, shlokas, he knew. Not only that, he knew everything material also. And he was telling me that if you are well versed with the spiritual aspects, then everything material can be easily attained. He was mentioning at that time. Of course, I could meet him only once or twice. But then in those 2 time interaction, you are saying, he was a scholar at that time. So Prabhupada mentions that traditionally they are intelligent, but what happens? They will pick up modern education to promote themselves to the higher rank. But unfortunately, as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they are most fallen. And Prabhupada mentions then later on that they accept services even if it is of the meanest of quality. That's a saddest part. Like Prabhupada mentions that the Brahmanas are nature supposed to guide the society. They're supposed to impart knowledge to the society. Unfortunately, the Brahmanas, they either are not allowed the facility or they don't do their responsibility, and because of which there is a fall down. In fact, once His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, he had come to my place, and then he just mentioned one statement. In fact, he had come for some dental treatment, and he just told me, he said, your profession is like a profession of a Brahmana. He said, because you are not accepting service from anyone. You are not serving anyone. You are not under anyone. So he says, you should keep up to that. Don't lose this opportunity. He was trying to tell me that. And, I was just meditating on this point that a Brahmana is a worse person who always guides a society. If he is under obligation of anyone, then he cannot guide the way he should guide. And that's what is happening. The people are getting polluted. The Brahmanas themselves are not well pure in their dealings. And that's why there is all these problems which come. Also, at the same time, it's said that how human society is getting degraded because cows are not protected. There's so much of slaughter of cows taking place all over. The place I'm going, there's a place, Latur. It's supposed to be the place which has the highest number of cow slaughters taking place. And that is a place which had an earthquake also a few years back. So it still is happening. It's happening many places. Our own people, they eat beef. In fact, Chand Kazi, when he was encountered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was trying to tell, he said, please tell me, why are you slaughtering cows? So much so, then Prabhupada gives a wonderful purport in, where he is mentioning how cow slaughter is absolutely forbidden in this. If somebody wants to eat, he can eat something else, but not cow. Because cow gives so much. In fact, till the time she leaves the body, she gives us dung also, cow dung, which is used for so many other aspects. So many things can come out of that. And the whole society can flourish if we just take care of the or use the cow dung, which Madan Gopal Prabhu will be very nicely able to enlighten us with this. It's an article which Madan Murarepe, one of our devotees, he sent an article that how cow dung can be used for various purposes. How the farmers can use this cow dung for fertilizers. And then when you use fertilizers, they don't have to take a loan. And because they take a loan, they use modern tractors and other things for loan, and then they are, sometimes the land is taken away, usurped by the government or by the bank taking loan. But if you just take care of this, just use this cow dung, and cow dung is, the cow gives throughout the life, the cow gives cow dung. Even if it doesn't, if it doesn't give the milk also, right? Prabhupada mentions very nicely how that, the cow's milk is used as sacrifice, nourishes life very happily. He says, Prabhupada mentions very nicely, he says, cow's calf is very beautiful. And when the cow looks at that calf, who is so beautiful, the cow naturally starts giving so much of milk. But unfortunately, Prabhupada mentions that the people, they take the calf away from the cow and they forcefully try to extract the milk from the cow. And so happens that the cow unwillingly has to give the milk. She gets older faster, and then once she doesn't give milk and stops giving milk, then after some time. And when she stops giving milk, then what happens? Then the cow is sent for slaughter. That's what happens in this So it is said that the thermometer of the society is that when brahmanas and cows are taken care of, and if that awareness is made, then you know many things can happen. That's why just yesterday we had performed one marriage ceremony. We stopped using the agarbattis. We thought of using the dhoop now, the cow's dhoop. He says we want to, you know, replace everything. Rohini Kumar Prabhu was saying, he says from now on we should use only the purest of cow's ghee for the sacrifice. Even if it means maybe the couple may have to spend some few hundred rupees more, but we'll use only the pure cow's ghee for the sacrifice, not a thing which you get in the market. Even if it costs about 800 rupees, we'll use that. Happy? That is what we decided. So we are no longer using agarbatti, we are using cow dhoop, we are using cow dung cakes, we are using pure cow's ghee. So, you know, indicating that this is how we can protect the cows. Like that. And that's how things can happen, something. So this is regarding the brahmanas and the cows. Diti is saying about dharma, artha, kama. Telling her husband that even dharma, artha, kama is going on nicely in household life. In fact, the entire society is running on this principle of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Why people want to engage in dharma? Because for economic development, that's all. Unfortunately, they do not know what is real religion. Everyone have manufactured or concocted their own types of religion. Somebody worships someone, somebody worships somebody else. So many apadharma have come up. Chala dharma, like it's mentioned in the Shastra, that how many, the five types of dharmas, apadharmas which have come up, that which misguide the society and make them believe that they are following. Of course, the people want to be cheated also. People want the world to know that they are pious. And that's why they want to take an easy way out and make, at the same time, make everyone know that they are following certain religion. Like the place where I'm practicing, there's a small lane. And just 20 years back, there was nothing over there. It was just that one person was just sitting there. And there was only a stone. And one small Hanuman Murti was there, that's all. He was just sitting there. All of a sudden, somebody comes there, offers some money. And then you see the next year, he has built a small shack. Then after 3 years, then there is something. And now there's a pakka place there, you know. And there is not Hanuman, but there are so many other personalities on the altar also, which are there. So, and off lately I saw that just 6 months back, he has put a proper, a grill, you know, like that. There is no grill otherwise. There's a grill also. And so many people who are my patients also, they also stand there, they just offer some puja and he just some puja and, you know, does give something. So once I overheard, somebody is asking that, you know, mera wo business jara achha kar do, mera ye kar do, is tarah, something like, you know, just asking for some material benefits. Now, this is one example, actually. Once I heard Gauram Prabhu was mentioning one of his classes that, you know, on a tree, somebody had put a, he said, if you want to become a successful businessman, then best is, you know, what you should do is that just put some on a tree, just put some tilak. And just, you only put your own money there and you put some garland of flowers there and you'll find that within 1 year's time, you'll become the millionaire over there, you know. That even the greatest of MBAs also will not be able to understand how it has happened. Because you put your own money first, because you, somebody sees that there's some money put, they also put their own money. And then ultimately you find that, you know, you collect so much of money. And then ultimately it becomes a big place, and then it becomes a worshipable place. And then you do not know how it comes about, how it has come, no history, nothing. But then everyone comes there, you also go there, and you follow. Everyone follows. It's like that. So that's what happens. What to speak of, you know, so many. Like, people just want to or follow religion for some economic purpose, for some economic development. Nothing, hardly anyone may be worshipping for service. Unalloyed, unmotivated service to the Lord. Very difficult. Anyone may be going there. In fact, I remember that when I was small, when I would go in the village, my grandmother used to, you know, there would always be a temple room. Each and every house in the village has a temple room, Devghar we call. And she would always make us chant one prayer, you know, Vidya, Buddhi, Ayush, Avyav, Bharpurdi, means give me enough. Give me enough Vidya, Buddhi, Ayusha, Avyava. That means give me a lot of knowledge, intelligence, wealth, you know, life. And every day she would tell us that just pray like this. You know? And I would, of course, you would just memorize this and say. And now I realize that, you know, what we were asking for was something very cheap. But then that is what happens. Everywhere in this world, we find that people only follow religion because they want some economic development. They want economic development. And why economic development? For sense gratification. That's all, nothing else. Once you have enough with you, then you want to enjoy your senses. And then once you enjoy your senses, then what happens? Just, you know, then you're frustrated with it, then you want moksha. So Prabhupada says that all this purusharthas, these four principles of advancement, you know, they ultimately depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma, artha, kama, ultimately. But one has to understand that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to us to give us the fifth one, the Prema Pumartha Mahan, Pancham Purushartha, that supersedes everything else. It is said that in the Shastra also, how we find many examples. Indra and Vritrasur. Indra wanted dharma, artha, kam. Indra wanted his position. Indra was fearing that probably this person is going to usurp my property. But Vritrasur, we see that he wanted only pure unalloyed devotional service. Exactly opposite. Indra wanted dharma, artha, and Vritrasur wanted pure unalloyed devotion. Prabhupada mentions another place. Hiranyakashipu wanted dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Hiranya and Kashipu. Hiranya is gold and Kashipu is soft bed. So Hiranyakashipu wanted dharma, artha, kama, but Prahlad Maharaj wanted pure unalloyed devotion. In the pages of Srimad Chaitanya Charitam also we find that how the neighbors of Sridhar Kolvecha, they would always shout at Sridhar. He says, we know why you are shouting in the middle of the night. Because you are all hungry. You don't have anything to eat. Take this. And they would throw rotis at the Sridhar Kolvecha. He says, look at us. We are worshipping Goddess Kali, Durga. And that's why we are so well off. But Sridhar Kolvecha, he just kicked off all these things. And he wanted just pure unalloyed devotion. So you find that how in this material world, everyone is after that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this Prema Pumartho Mahan, Prema, love of Krishna. And when one does that, then no longer one is interested in Dharma, Artha, and Kam. Then we find that that is something so insignificant, so trivial. And that's the nature, you know, of devotion service. That one, when one engages in devotion service, then what happens is that one no longer is interested in the so-called religion, economic development and sense gratification. That goes off very far off. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one serves Krishna, he quotes Bilwa Mangal Thakur, saying that one serves Krishna, then liberation along with dharma, artha and kam stand at a door, waiting. How can we serve you? That's how it is. So ultimately we find that here Aditi is mentioning that my dear husband, whatever asking, there's nothing wrong in that. In fact, everything is taken care of. The brahmanas, the cows are taken care of. In fact, the principle of dharma and karth, which is actually the duty of household, that also is taken care of. In fact, I would just like to recollect one instance where, regarding the cow, one lady was saying she would serve the cow so nicely in the village, and she was the only person in the family who would serve the cows. The family of 9, and she was made to take care of the cows, and she was saying that she would get such a nice reciprocation from the cows that, you know, that many times she would actually interact with the cows. Interact in the sense, she would talk to the cows. And then when she got married, it is said that when she was having the child in the womb, and during the labor periods, she had such a problem, health problem, that it was told that she may have to leave her body, that she may die while delivering. So it seems she was praying intensely, and it is said that the cow understood what this lady was going through. And when she delivered the baby, it is said that the cow died. So she was revealing this fact that I know that the cow left her body for the sake of me. You know, that's what this lady was saying. So this is how the cows naturally, reciprocate. So just wanted to just share this out. So ultimately we know that that for any economic development, for prosperity of human society, there's a shortest way. The shortest way is what? Just see that the brahmanas and cows are taken care of nicely. That's all. If the brahmanas and cows are taken care of nicely, and the women, the children, and the old are taken care of nicely, then the society will flourish. So society will flourish like anything. That's why we have so much of emphasis on cow protection. We have the Wada farm coming up, the project, and we are advocating, you know, so much of cow protection, giving the place for the cows, the bulls, their rightful claim, basically. Because that's what they are meant for. The bull is meant to graze the field. The cow is meant to give milk. And that's natural for the cow to do that. And that's the main purpose. That's the main aim of the project. And some of the, create an awareness amongst the people in general about cow protection and the value of the cow products that a cow gives. The invaluable, the miracle food. Prabhupada mentioned that cows gives this miracle food. It's really a miracle food. When you drink the milk, then it just, satisfies you both spiritually, materially, as well as, from all aspects. And we can actually understand the spiritual aspects more clearly. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Want to add something? Just 1 minute. Few days back, Rup Vilas Prabhu from Kolhapur, he gave me one sample of cow dhoop made by Venu Madhuri Trust at Kolhapur. And he told you, just tell me, give me your feedback. He asked me to give me the feedback. And I would say, with respect to driving the mosquitoes from the place, it was the best. Means I was amazed. Even I have seen many times the kachua chap is burning and mosquitoes are hovering around it. I have seen, maybe some mosquitoes go away, but some stay there. But here, this dhoop which he gave me, I just used in Ratnagiri base where I took it with me. And it was like, if you have stayed out in some places where mosquitoes come, then the mosquitoes are maximum during, before sunrise and immediately after the sunset. So I just burned it before sunrise. I was chanting and some mosquitoes were disturbing me. And within 2 to 3 minutes, the whole room was free from mosquitoes. As soon as I burnt it. And not only that room, the next room also was free from all mosquitoes. And this happened even when the window and the door of the room was open. So that not that all the smoke was getting stored in. Even in the open conditions. And up till the dhoop was burning, that was around 40 minutes. There was not a single mosquito. Even after that, 10 minutes, the effect remained. And so I was just saying that I have never seen really effective mosquito dhoop up till now. There are, but there are many times the mosquitoes hover around also. But here, the whole room, even the corners, and we were amazed to see the effect. And after the dhoop was burned off, after that, we were seeing 10-15 minutes, the mosquitoes come till the window and they would go back because they could not enter. They would come and then they would go back. So I just thought, Hare Krishna.